like he led the children of Israel into the wilderness to test them, to try them, to prove what was in them. And you wonder how, with all the faith it took him to leave Ur of the Chaldees and travel westward across the deserts, coming to the place when God said, this is the place, how could he leave it? How could he leave it? And lack the faith that God could keep him in the time of famine. And I take comfort in that, for all the giants of God's book have had their downs as well as their ups. And this giant who believed God when no certain path was in front of him, ran off to Egypt when the famine came. Egypt, the land of leeks, and garlic, and flesh pots. Always the type of sin. And you see Abraham, with his life blotted in Egypt by the sin of lying, and deceiving the king, and betraying his wife. Amazing. Much easier to do that down in Egypt than to do it at Bethel. There was a famine at Bethel, the house of God. But the temptation wasn't there to lie and deceive and betray his wife with his lies. It took the atmosphere of Egypt for that to happen. The moment of fear, the man of faith went where sight would lead him, into Egypt. But the occasion of this book, that's now past. I have preached on this passage more times, well, 18 times, every year. But I think I have left something out that I want to emphasize. Because I usually start with the text. The promise would have been just the same if he had got it down in Egypt, but he didn't get it there. And I've noticed people that get out of step with God, they love to take the bright note and apply it to where they are. I remember once witnessing a person listening to the message of the Potter's House. And I came to the end of the Potter's House message, where in the Old Testament, the pots that were rejected were thrown into the potter's field. And I pointed out, as I always do, because I preach that message every year, that in the New Testament, the last reference to the potter's field in the Gospels, when Judas realized and still had enough conscience to realize what he had done to Jesus, he went back and tried to give the money back to the priests, the 30 pieces of silver. At least Judas gets credit for that. And when they wouldn't take it, he cast it down and went out and hanged himself. Give him credit. At least Judas had enough character to hang himself. But when he cast the 30 pieces of silver down, the priest took it and bought a potter's field where all the broken pots that in the Old Testament remained discarded by the potter. And I close the message by saying, the New Testament change is, from the Old Testament of rejected pots, is that the price of Christ's death bought up the potter's field where all the rejected pots had been thrown. And I remember a person that was foolhardy on a course of self-serving sin, with no intention of returning to the right path again, twisted that word into, I got another chance to do it on my sinful road. They didn't say it that way. But they twisted the whole message. Without understanding the principle that God's the boss, the process of His training, and returning to the hand of God to shape them. Oh, now I got something I can grab onto. His death bought up all the broken pots, so I've messed up, and I'm a broken pot, and I'm going to now get another chance with God on my broken road. No, you're not. That's the message I want to come to as we go into the next half hour. Before the message of this book that I'm on tonight came to Abraham, he left Egypt and returned to Bethel, the house of God, the place where God first spoke, the place of the tent, and the place of the altar. He returned to availability. He returned to the sacrificing altar. And then God gave him a message. That's why, so out of my heart these last many weeks, I've been going back to foundations and returning myself to the place of the tent and the place of the altar. I can only hope, knowing that the ground is as important as the seed, that others are returning to the place of the altar, the tent, the house of God, the place where God speaks. Egypt dimmed the voice. It was back at Bethel that the promise that's the subject of the next half hour's teaching comes, that every one of us can avail ourselves with, take as our own new beginning, but only if we return to Bethel. Availability to God, the place of the tent. Altar, the place where we die to self and give ourselves to His control. And that's where I take up when we move into the next half hour. You see, we like to think. No more calls. We like to think. That God's forgiveness and God's grace involve no repentance and no restitution. Oh, I got off the track. I messed up. And we hear a message of God's grace, and we think, now that means I can start all over, having stack the deck my way. You remember the famous story I've told you about the two brothers that were choosing cats? One was a beautiful Siamese cat. The other one was a mangy alley cat. They went down to choose cats. And one of the brothers picked up the Siamese cat, clutched it close, and looked at his brother and said, "Now you choose." We do that with God. We get off the track and we see something we want. And then we want God to start over with us in that place where we're holding what we want. It don't work that way. You got to change your mind that got you off the track. That's what repentance means. You got to repent and do your first works over. That's what the Bible says. You got to get out of Egypt, which is a state of mind in the meaning that comes forth from this book. Running in fear seeking the world and its comforts, get back to faith, back to Bethel, God's house, back to the place of the tent, availability to God, back to the altar. I die, he lives, my rights bow, his rights take over, I surrender. Back to the place where his voice spoke. And that's at Bethel, the place of the tent, and the place of the altar. Then you can claim the promise. Well, I've known, as I've preached on this message many times, that people in the process of making a wreck of their life want to think they can claim this promise. No, you can't. Any more than you can pull out of a promise box, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Whose needs? First, the Philippians. And second, those who are doing what the Philippians did before that promise came. Going to supply the needs of people that aren't acting like those Philippians. It doesn't happen that way. So you that have heard this message 18 times, I want you to understand. It's to those that have returned, that are willing to go back to Bethel. And so if the urge is there, then the Spirit's still drawing. If it isn't there, then maybe you've crossed the line. And there remaineth no remission, only burning. But get it clear. He came back to Bethel. And when he got there, there was strife between he and Lot through their herdsmen. And there was a family feud, family fight. Abraham said, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. Those separations occur. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. And that's part. If thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. Amazing how the sinning one, the hanger-on, the one that was only there for what he could get, lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. Old Abraham's going to get the mangy cat. One Bible scholar has said of this passage, that's the most adequate explanation of compromise in God's book. A little of the best of both. The garden of God and the land of Egypt. Half and half. Then Lot chose him, all the plain of Jordan. Give me the best. Amazing. Now, people in the grip of Satan don't care what happens to the man of faith or the man of God. They don't care at all. Lot didn't give a doodly. What condition he left Abraham in? As long as he got his. Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. You ever been to uplands of Samaria? It's rocky, unproductive, dirty. But it's Bethel. It's where God spoke. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, pitched his tent toward Sodom, where, verse 13 says, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly, like a moth to the flame. I could write about the process of sin. Notice that he didn't immediately rush into Sodom and Gomorrah. He just pitched his tent that way. Later on, we find he abode in Sodom. Then a little later you read, he sat at the gate of Sodom. I'm sure he rationalized everything he's doing. But you that know the story of the end of Sodom and Gomorrah, his compromising failed to win the handful of souls that would have saved the city from destruction. He lost his wife on the way out. After Lot separated himself, and Abram was still staying at Bethel, the place where God spoke, God's house, the place of the tent, availability to God, and the place of the altar, death to self, commitment to God. After Lot was gone, then and only then, the promise of this book, the Lord said unto Abram, lift up now. The now didn't work until at least 1 second after Lot, who wanted a little of the garden of the Lord and a little of the land of Egypt, and give me the best part, was gone. Then and only then, lift up now thine eyes from the place that thou art, Bethel, place of the tent. Oh, I've been asking myself for some weeks now, could I sing that old song of the church? I'll go where you want me to go. Dear Lord, yeah, I can. Not too sure. A few weeks ago, I sure am now. Lift up now thine eyes from the place that thou art, and look northward, all the way to Mount Hermon, where we're broadcasting now, southward, even beyond Hebron, eastward, beyond the Jordan River, well beyond where Lot camped out, westward out to the coast, as far as the eye could see in every direction. God said, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. Abraham might have replied, but Lord, Lot just took the best part. He didn't say that. Abram was a man of faith. Focus on the word now and the place where thou art. This was a command from the Lord. It followed the promise his seed would be numbered as the dust of the earth, and that he would possess the land. Don't just look. Get up and start walking. Hang your body on the promise. Start moving. And everywhere the sole of your feet touches, I will give it to thee and to thy seed after thee. And he got up and started walking. Everywhere he went, he was a trespasser. All those Canaanites, Perizzites, Hittites, Jebusites. It was a land of idols. He didn't own a square inch. Everywhere he walked, every time you read in the newspaper, as the whole surrounding world tries to crush that little nation Israel, God's still measuring out footsteps. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. For 18 years I have faithfully declared the promises of God with ups and downs claimed to myself. And like the stock market, there's some ups and downs, but we've been setting new highs. This was to be our greatest year. All Lot gained was fleeing Sodom and Gomorrah as fire and brimstone rained down on it. His dumb wife looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. A little Sunday school kid once said, my mother looked back when she was leaving a place and ran into a telephone pole. God will honor His word, folks. We haven't come this far. And a lot of you need to change your status from hangers-on to committed ones. A lot of you need to come back to Bethel, in the place of the tent, in the place of the altar, in the place of God's voice. That's the reverse direction. Abram could have hardened his heart down in Egypt. Abram could have died in guilt and bemoaning his failure. He beat his ass back to the house of God, to the place of the tent, to the place of the altar, to the place where God's voice was being heard. I'd rather be in Abraham's shoes than Lot's shoes. When you read in the book of Hebrews concerning Abraham, it doesn't even mention his trip down to Egypt. Doesn't even mention his failure. Doesn't even mention his heartbreaks and failings. Let's just read what it does mention. Because there are people listening to me tonight carrying guilt in their soul so deep for their failure. Satan, if he can't keep you by attracting you to Egypt's flesh pots, he'll kill you with guilt because you took a taste. By faith, Abraham, Hebrews 11, here's the New Testament record, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It mentions Sarah, those who died in the faith, wherefore God's not ashamed to be called their God. Then again, Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Not a word about his failure. He got back to the house of God, to the place of the tent, place of the altar, where God's voice spoke. I have enough failures in my life. Now, I don't want you to think, as I have gone back to foundations, that I've gone out and committed some terrible sin. That ain't what I'm talking about. All the saints will tell you that The closer you get to God, the more you're aware of the distance between where you are and where He is, which is so much greater than where you once were and where you've come. And the closer you get to God, the more you become aware of how much closer you should have been by now. And the little things and sins of the Spirit and side roads of discouragement and doubt and loss of faith, that pains you more than what the traditional church thinks of the terrible sins that you've been delivered from a long time ago. But even the greatest fall into the terrible sins, as Abraham and as David did. And to those that have, I give this message of mercy to you in your dealing and your path with God. Wherever He leads you, get back to Bethel. Get back to the place of the tent. Get back to the altar. Get back to God's voice. But I pray that when, as Hebrews 11 speaks, that the roll call is not yet complete because God had us in mind, I thank God that I deal with a God who can tell the story of Abraham, which over the years had more gaps of failure than it did short times of great success.
Please go to the next tape.